With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Investors who followed the stock market in December felt they were on a roller coaster. Well, now come January, there's good reason to believe it could be much more smooth sailing on Wall Street. That's coming up. First, these money and market stories you should know. The IRS says it will pay tax refunds during the government shutdown. The decision allows hundreds of billions of dollars to flow once tax filing opens later this month. Until Monday, the Trump administration and its predecessors had said that refunds couldn't be paid while the IRS was shut. That's because it wasn't necessary to protect life or government property. Mortgage rates have fallen to around their lowest level in 8 months. That's offering a potential boost to the unstable housing market. The average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage is down to about 4.51%. matching the lowest level since last spring. That rate is still higher than its level of 3.95% from a year ago, but it's fallen from a more than 7-year high of nearly 5% in October. As rates have steadily fallen, some real estate agents said they're seeing buyers start to creep back into the market. Sales of existing homes rose 1.9% in November from a year earlier to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.32 million, though that figure is down sharply from a year earlier. And it's been a happy new year so far at the gas pump, but the price to fill up could be on the rise soon. Saudi Arabia plans to cut the amount of oil it exports to 7.1 million barrels a day by the end of the month in an effort to boost prices. Saudi Arabia exported about 7.3 million barrels a day of crude last month. That was already down from about 7.9 million barrels a day back in November and 7.7 million barrels a day in October. The country is trying to fund ambitious plans to diversify its economy beyond petroleum products. December's stock market moves were not for the faint of heart, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average moving up or down nearly 1,000 points in some days. But there could be some good news coming for investors as we start the new year. And Wall Street Journal markets reporter Jessica Menton is here to explain. So Jessica, in the fourth quarter, the markets really didn't fall in line with respect to history. Case in point, there was no Santa Claus rally. But typically, January is a strong month for stocks, and things seem to be lining up for that to ring true this year.
So on January 4th, we saw quite a big move in the market. The Dow ended the day up more than 800 points, and that was really driven to the fact that we got a very robust jobs report. And at the same token, Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve chairman, came out and said the Fed would be more flexible with its policy. And I think those were comments the market was really looking for. And it was a huge bounce back after the market had, over the course of the first two trading days, was really the market's worst start to a year since 2000.
And also, this being the third year of the presidential election cycle has a lot to do with this potentially being an up year as well.
January also is typically a very strong month in the markets. And it sort of sets the stage since we are in the what traders and analysts call the pre-election year, the year before the election. Typically, the market does perform well, and that's usually because incumbents will implement new policies or push for lower taxes ahead of the election in an effort to boost the economy. The only sort of caveat to that is we did see Congress cut rates at the end of 2017, and that did filter through into 2018 with a boost to earnings growth when you're looking at companies, especially in the S&P 500, and you're looking at how well the economy performed versus its peers globally in 2018. The question sort of is, you know, can the U.S. remain the standout compared to its peers?
And by Congress cutting rates, you mean the corporate tax rates?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if there's anything that could hold back the market from popping and moving higher, it's this ongoing thing around our necks, which is the trade questions with China.
There's been so many different narratives that have hung over the markets for the past few months, one of which is the ongoing trade tensions, as well as the concerns of slowing global growth and sort of the Federal Reserve and the uncertainty that there was about whether or not they would be flexible. Now that the Fed's come out a few times now with more dovish statements, I think obviously the market has welcomed that those concerns, but over the next 90 days. So officials are meeting this week to discuss trade negotiations with officials in China, and it's supposed to go on up until the beginning of March. So there could be a situation where there is more clarity, and that could turn some of that uncertainty around in the markets. But at the same side of that, if there continues to be uncertainty with regard to that situation, then that could be the driver of what could inhibit the markets for continuing to propel higher.
I mean, good news or bad news, the market does not like uncertainty. They just want to know, give it to me straight.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
But, you know, strategists you spoke to for your story, they suggest specific investments for the latter stage of economic expansions, which we're in right now.
Something that's interesting, if you're looking at, say, some of the most held back stocks, especially in the last quarter, that have been hurt by a lot of these trade tensions, it's industrial stocks. So if you're looking at Caterpillar, Boeing, those have both lost more than 10% over the last 3 months. If you're looking at the later stages of an economic cycle, which people are arguing since we are in the 10th year of the bull market, you know, where can we position ourselves? And a lot of the money managers that I've spoken with have suggested industrials, along with energy, which have clearly been beaten up the last few years because of what we've seen with oil prices, and especially over the last few months with U.S. oil prices and global oil prices in a bear market again. But they do typically perform well in the latter stages, as well as if you're looking at small cap stocks. If we're, say, for instance, looking at the Russell 2000, that's another benchmark that has definitely gotten decimated and is in a bear market. But those smaller cap stocks, because they're more domestic focused, those also perform well in the latter stages. So those are definitely areas that I've seen more money managers position themselves in.
And since we're talking about what can be expected, it's important to mention a note in your story that stock declines that occur in January, if it's a broad decline, that can actually spell trouble for the rest of the year.
It doesn't bode well for the markets. And I did get some analysts at CFRA Research to pull some data for me. And they were saying that when the market was up in January, and that's really referring to the S&P 500, the market was higher 83% of the remaining 11 months. And that was for looking at all Januaries. And then if you were looking just in those pre-election third years, the market was up 81% of the time. And then, you know, I was looking at the Stock Traders Almanac, and since 1950, anytime the S&P has finished lower in January, it's either, you know, gone during, before preceding a bear market, during a bear market, or the market ended up flat or in some sort of correction. And a lot of that has to do, there's all sorts of different indicators you can look at, but there's this January effect, which really refers to how small cap stocks or beaten down stocks in January, a lot of portfolio managers want to get them out for tax purposes, and then they become cheaper and they have better valuations in January. And sometimes, you know, you'll see people come in and scoop those up. So it'll be interesting at the end of the month if we see a lot of pros go in and start buying that, because it could be an indication of maybe how the year will play out.
All right. Good reason to keep attuned to the markets team here at the Wall Street Journal on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. And that's our journal reporter, Jessica Menton, here with us in our studio. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.